our collective nervous systems are exhausted by this whole game, by this whole fear-based conformity and all the bullshit. We get it. Even though we may not be able to fully articulate it or fully completely see through it, we are done with it. Welcome back to another episode of the Abundance Matrix Underground. Today, I am diving into part two of my psychic liberation series. Part one, I focus primarily on psychic enmeshment and how that plays out in our collective psychic warfare in the victim, aggressor, the savior paradigm. And I talked about specifically how the Lack Matrix programs us to abandon our connection to our humanity, and more specifically our bodies and our body's wisdom and our body's electromagnetic field, which causes all sorts of dysregulation with our experience here. So in part one, we explored how this enmeshment disconnects us from our body's data, keeps us looping in that fear, guilt, and shame model. And today we're diving deeper into the trauma bond itself and explore why we stay loyal to these systems that harm us. And also specifically why truth tellers, which is an archetype that's being called forth right now, these archetypes are the most hated archetypes during a collective tower moment, because they reveal the illusion and it makes everybody feel unsafe and uncomfortable. I also want to tap a little bit into psychic vampirism and how it emerges when we've outsourced our life force to the external world for so long, given our life force to the Lack Matrix, and dive a little bit into the tool of punishment itself and how the Lack Matrix uses it both socially and politically and emotionally to silence the disruptors or the truth tellers, the seers, and to keep the group in conformity. So the bottom line is here, humanity is collectively breaking free from the whole Lack Matrix, from that whole mechanism, because we see through the narratives we've been conditioned to obey. So this episode is about reclaiming that sovereignty and understanding the psychology of liberation and how it plays out in our humanity, because it's not necessarily pretty or sparkly, and it can be very confusing at times. And it's also, I believe, important to prepare ourselves for what happens in our collective psychic field when the tower starts to fall, which is what's happening. And it's about, I think we're all in for quite an interesting ride. First of all, why does this conversation even matter? The reason why Spirit has given me all of this, has been bringing this all through me, is because we are a collective tower moment together. And it's a destabilization of our whole existence here, and also a clarifying phase. And it's clarifying because systems can no longer hide behind illusion, because the illusion is falling. So we're seen behind the illusion. And as much as we may want this, it's terrifying. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how that plays out with the truth tellers in a minute. But during these periods, the people who see through the matrix earliest, which you're one of them, are the least tolerated, the most misunderstood, and the most scapegoated. And this isn't because you're wrong. It's not because we're wrong. It's because we disrupt the collective trauma bond that keeps everyone feeling stable within dysfunction. So it's a threat. And that's why if you've felt any sort of pullback on your field as you see through the matrix, it's why so many of us just stay silent. And in many times, it is the most important thing to do. There's a time to speak and there's a time to stay silent. But there's such a pullback, even though people want and are asking for truth and want and are asking for justice, they are not ready to truly see behind the illusion, because it destabilizes everything. And we have been under the illusion that seeing behind the illusion means seeing that the other guys are so bad and finally getting justified for see those guys and how bad they are. But what it actually means is we see through the entire illusion of us versus them. We see how the mechanism itself works and how we've been used as pawns within it. And that is way more destabilizing. So the other way that we do it is it anchors into that war mode, and we're like, wait for the truth to be revealed so we can see who's right and who's wrong, and therefore serve justice. But it is not that. the actual tower moment, the actual illusion falling, dissolves the idea that there's even a us versus them altogether. And as I said, that's the most destabilizing parts, because our identities are completely rooted in this war paradigm and in who we are in that, whether the victim, the aggressor, or the savior, and what that means and how we get justice. We are so preoccupied with this, which is what this whole psychic liberation series has been all about. And this psychic trauma bond to the system, which is the lack matrix, hooks in to our psyche through fear, guilt, and shame. And I've talked about this a lot, how this hooks into our lower chakras, our root chakra, our sacral chakra, our solar plexus, our sense of belonging and connectedness to the earth, our energy of giving and receiving and creating and sexuality, and our personal sovereignty. This is where it hooks into. And it basically uses that emotional bandwidth to feed off of and to keep that whole system, the lack matrix, alive. I've talked so much about this, but we learn to associate this system, even though it's corrupt, with safety, predictability, belonging, how our needs get met, because we've learned how to survive within it. And we've also, our identities, often especially the identity that kept us safe and we survived with this whole time, can be the most difficult identity to let go of in the lack matrix. And it's the one that often, even though it's fought for truth the whole time, doesn't want to truly see through the illusion, because even the trust in the self, the way that we've had to survive in lack, also has to die. So this is a time where everything's being destabilized, and it's not comfortable for anybody, because everybody's delusions are dissolving. Everybody's, not just those guys, everybody's. So we learn to associate the system, even corrupt systems, with predictability, belonging, safety, how our needs get met. And over time, the system becomes our sort of pseudo caregiver, even though it's harming us. And this is why people cling to it and defend it and attack anyone who threatens it, because the trauma bond, in trauma bond, we defend our captors, because it's all we know. So one of the ways this emerges is loyalty to the group over sovereignty. And this is a powerful one, because in order to keep the lack matrix functioning as powerfully as it has been on this planet, we have to participate in it, and we have to keep people psychically looped into it, because the warfare begins psychically. So in trauma-bonded systems, we're conditioned to prioritize group approval over our own authentic expression, group norms, group narratives, all of this over our own body's truth, intuition, instincts, preference. This is how we lose sovereignty. And also those things become an enemy. We're taught that it's wrong or bad or selfish, or there's so much programming around sovereignty, because we have to believe it's wrong and bad to be free in that way, or else we would choose it. So this is where the psychic enmeshment begins, because we get programmed with this idea that I need the group in order to survive. So we override ourselves. We override our own instincts. And some symptoms of this enmeshment can appear in our lives as things like chronic second guessing, disassociating from our bodies, and specifically from sensation in the body. We will maybe feel emotion, but we get stuck in the story of the emotion and we ignore the sensation, because the story traps us in our head rather than in the sensation, and therefore we don't get the data. So it disconnects us from our primal instincts in that way. It shows up as an inability to know what we prefer, just having no preference, not even knowing what our preference is, not even knowing we have permission to have a preference, depending on how deep this is. And it can also show up as when we use external cues to determine how we feel or what to do. We wait to see what the general temperature is before we make a decision. We wait how other people respond before we have our response. It's a classic symptom of enmeshment with the group. And we do things like abandon our preference. And when we abandon our preference, we abandon our sovereignty, our sovereign will, our sovereign choice. And remember, we have to stay in that belief that we don't have a sovereign will in order to stay enmeshed with the group and therefore dependent on what the group does or doesn't do for how you're going to feel or fare out. So when we abandon our sovereignty, we become even more programmable. And this is why truth tellers are the most hated archetypes of the Lack Matrix. And it's why also times like these tower moments call for truth tellers. And you know that there, you see them most likely if you're paying attention at all. You probably know people in your mind right now. You can think of people that fit this archetype, and you may be one of them. You probably are. We all are. All of us that are resonating with this message, we are to a certain extent part of this archetype. But I'm going to get in this, in part two of the series, we're going to get deep into the psychology of how this works, because this is all connected also to the parts of us that we keep secret, the parts of us that we don't know if it's safe. And also we see, even just, it is wise. There are certain things that are wise to just keep to yourself right now, because everything's so misunderstood. So this archetype of the truth teller is not only the most hated collectively, but there's a lot of psychic trauma for the truth teller in coming into their full initiation, because they're like a well-kept secret. And that can have a negative expression in our lives if we are still rooted in the belief that we're not enough, because that's how shame gets attached to what we are. And anyway, that's going to be a whole different episode, the psychology of that. But the main thing I want you to think about is how truth tellers become the most hated archetype when these tower moments happen, because they're the seers, the whistleblowers. They're the anomaly. They're the ones who refute the whole gaslighting scenario. They refuse to be gaslit themselves. And they refuse to perpetuate. Once they see through it, they refuse to pretend that what they see, they didn't see, what they heard, they didn't hear, what they experienced, they didn't experience, because that's where the trauma has been. So this archetype activates the collective's deepest fear, which is that if the system fails, how will I survive? It's all a survival mechanism. So the truth teller's presence exposes the group's dependency on the whole collective game, the group's denial, the group's unprocessed fears, and the illusions everyone is emotionally invested in. And remember, we get deeply emotionally invested into the victim, aggressor, savior paradigm, because that's how we always justify the sacrifice. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it, because innately we know we don't need to give up our life force in order to receive. And we innately have an inbuilt mechanism of communion, which we instinctively know we need each other to survive. So the sacrifice is unnecessary, but we've been programmed to believe that it is necessary. So we get so deeply invested in this victim, aggressor, savior paradigm that we have to see it out. We need to know who the bad guy is. We need to know who the good guy is. We need to know. And it's why we can... Oh, story is used as such a powerful tool to manipulate people. So the collective response to truth tellers typically is to shame them, ostracize them, accuse them of destabilizing everything, ruining everything, project your fear of the unknown onto them. If they would just shut up, if they would just not say anything anymore, if they would just quit talking, I wouldn't feel so afraid of the I wouldn't feel so afraid, because everything they're speaking to represents an unknown that I do not feel comfortable with. And if all else fails, if these things don't work, shaming, ostracizing, accusing them of everything, etc., if all else fails, you take them out. And taking them out begins through demonization. We have to believe there's a whole propaganda machine that has to happen to convince us that they're not human, that they don't deserve basic human dignity, basic human rights, basic human, our even sense that we would never take another life. This is how the whole war matrix is justified. And that's why it's so important that we see through these tactics. we just outsmart the system, and it won't work on us in the same way. And that's already what's happening. And these truth tellers are key to this. So it's important to understand, if you are one of these truth tellers, and like I said, I feel like all of us are to an extent, have a piece of this. And there's some very powerful ones on the grid right now that are playing huge roles in this, speaking directly to the matrix and taking a huge hit in the collective psychic consciousness because of it. Because even people who crave liberation can often and do often react negatively to the tower falling, because liberation threatens our coping mechanism, and it threatens the identities we've built through survival, which, as I said earlier, are the most difficult ones to release, because they're the ones that this is the only thing we could trust. They kept us through, that saved us. Our survival mechanism saved us. And so to even have to release that identity, because it's still rooted, the identity that we had to develop to survive the lack matrix is rooted in the belief that there's not enough. So we even have to let go. And that's part of why it's so destabilizing, is because we even have to let go of who we thought we were. And that's, some people are just not ready for that. But whether they're ready or not, the tower is falling. And it's also important to understand how this lack matrix uses punishment as a primary tool for control, or a control mechanism. It's used because punishment is the tool to keep the group enmeshed psychically and obedient. So when someone begins to see through the system and speaks truth to that, the collective, which is still psychically trauma bonded with the lack matrix, will respond with this shaming, guilt tripping, the exile, the social punishment, which is like cancel culture, for example, and demands for ideological conformity. This is what we're seeing happen now. It's all fear, because the tower's falling and we're trying to grasp onto something that feels predictable, safe, familiar. And punishment functions as a sort of a, you could call it like a psychic shock collar. If you fall out of line, you lose belonging, you lose safety, you lose identity, you might lose your livelihood. So there's enough fear. Remember, fear has to do with punishment. And those who are in fear are not made perfect in love. That's why we can't allow fear to dictate what we do and what we don't do. And this is how we know whether we're locked into trauma or we've allowed ourselves to be liberated outside of the belief that there's not enough. Okay, I had to pause because my dog wanted to go out. But let me get back to where I was here. So the seer archetype becomes the primary target psychically, because they're not wrong, but they expose the group's dependence. They mirror back these internal contradictions, and they threaten the illusion that the trauma bond is built on. On a collective scale, we've seen these dynamics in the media narratives and what they reinforce, the political polarization of everything, the social virtue scripts, public takedowns of people who contradict dominant stories, etc. And the truth is that humanity is outgrowing this mechanism because we're becoming more sovereign. The internet and the social media has helped us quickly be able to see through things. And we actually learn quite quickly. So we're recognizing how easily punishment has become a tool of manipulation in this overall political game that most people are realizing has nothing to do with them on a deep level, but something that's been going on for so long, and it's a war between people that we're not even aware of. So our collective nervous systems are exhausted by this whole game, by this whole fear-based conformity and all the bullshit. We get it. Even though we may not be able to fully articulate it or fully completely see through it, we are done with it. And we do see how punishment fragments our psyche rather than corrects behavior. So we're starting to see that this whole punishment system is not actually meeting the needs that we have. And the bottom line is, the end of the punishment error marks a shift from that fear-based compliance to more sovereignty-based discernment. And from enmeshment to individuality and authenticity and authentic expression of who we are. And from that survival trauma bonding to the lack matrix to more of a self-sourced stability, being self-sustaining from within. So as we exit the trauma bond, we stop needing to police each other and each other's reality. Because a sovereign being don't require, if you're a sovereign beings in general don't require others to match their story or match their energy in order to feel safe. Because we understand that we have preference and we have choice and we can pivot in that direction. We don't have to give our life force to the lack matrix. We don't have to sacrifice. We don't have to believe the lie that there's not enough. We don't have to go to war. I don't have to make anybody my enemy. I don't even need to be preoccupied with that. Another part of this that's really interesting to look at is how this psychic enmeshment can lead to psychic vampires and psychic vampirism. And that's when we lose our connection to our internal truth, to the embodied data of being in connection with sensation in the body, with our organic life force. We start to become dependent on external validation, so much so that it exceeds our connection to our primary energy source, to God. So this is the root of psychic vampirism. It's not malice. It's just energetic malnutrition from our needs, our deeper needs of communion never being met. And the system trains us to seek worth externally, to seek safety externally, to outsource our power to these external authorities, and to abandon our preference for the group. So from this place, we begin extracting from others our sense of validation and certainty and permission and identity. And doing that for so long, over so many thousands of years at this point, we have, in a collective psychic manner, have forgotten how to generate life force from within, directly from our connection to God. And so this is why this entire lack matrix system is vampiric. And it's why the whole victim, aggressor, savior paradigm is vampiric. And it's in the way that it's played out in the lack matrix. So as we rebuild our sovereignty, what we're doing is returning to the body, first and foremost. The antidote to this enmeshment is not rebellion, it's connection, reconnection. And rebuilding sovereignty requires reclaiming preference, first and foremost, and allowing ourselves to choose sensation over story. This is what the Queen of Pentacles is diving us into in the YouTube membership, is connecting to the body itself and tuning into sensation over story. Most of the time we say, how do you feel? And then we'll say an emotion. And then we have an entire story hooked with that emotion. And it reiterates all of the patterns of the victim, aggressor, savior paradigm within us. But if we instead pay attention to sensation and get the data of sensation and then move from there towards our preference, we begin to attune, to align, and to reestablish boundaries with yourself, to know where you end and others begin, to re-inhabit the body. So true boundaries are not walls from others. They are played out in our lives through clear preference, through very clear yes and no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Through clear internal alignment. And this is a repatterning in our central nervous system that shifts us out of needing to steal or outsource energy from the lack matrix or from the external and cycle it back into inner resourcing. We're well resourced because we're connected to God, and embodied abundance because we're connected to God, and that direct connection to source, feeling the sensation of that, the relationship of that, the sovereignty of that. It starts to help us create self-generated stability, generated through the body, through the creative mechanism. And only sovereign individuals can create sovereign systems. So this is why it's crucial that we become sovereign. And this is why it's crucial that we get over, it's what I keep saying, get over the need to be good or right, because that need keeps you looped into the lack matrix, keeps you caring so much about that, and that therefore keeps you enslaved to the collective. And that blocks your sovereignty, which blocks communion, which blocks heaven on earth, which blocks abundance, which blocks the needs from being met. So even though this stage of liberation, the moment the tower falls, is so uncomfortable, it's essential. Because seeing through the matrix destabilizes the familiar. Not because it's unsafe. It doesn't feel threatening because it's unsafe. It feels threatening because it's unknown. Because we don't really know what's behind it. And it's deeper than we think in terms of the illusion. It's way more sophisticated than we can imagine. And our collective central nervous system is interpreting this inevitable tower moment as a threat. That's why truth feels like a threat to everybody right now. Truth feels like a threat because every system's getting exposed. I've said this a lot, but this lack matrix has been infiltrated into every system, every religion, every group. It's something that's within humanity. And some humans choose to be an anomaly outside of that, and other humans are embedded in it. And humans make up everything that we experience here, every religion, every group, every political party. So this is something that's happening within humans, which will inevitably happen in the groups they identify with. And that's why it's not about the group. So when we see through the matrix, we destabilize what's familiar, and it disrupts this illusion of safety in our collective central nervous system. And this truth feels like a threat. Freedom feels like dangerous. It's why people won't rebel. But remember, beyond rebellion is liberation. And that's where we become sovereign. And so sovereignty will be read as betrayal when it is interpreted through the lens of the victim, aggressor, savior paradigm, through the lens of people who are fearful of the illusion dissolving, of the tower falling. We're at a stage right now that is many people in the collective withdrawing from this psychic trauma bond. And so disorientation is normal, especially psychic disorientation. Anger, rage is normal. Resistance is normal. But remember that this discomfort signals the beginning of real liberation, not just collapse. So the invitation of the seer archetype, the truth teller, is that you're not here to convince anybody of anything. You're not here to rescue anybody. You're not here to be palatable. You're not here to impress anybody. Your role is to stay sovereign, to remain anchored in truth, capital T, regardless of how terrifying it may even be to you at times. To embody that internal stability through your unwavering faith that there's enough, that asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. You are not left out. The debt's been paid. You have full access. And it's important that you regulate your psychic field through coherence and clarity, staying rooted in truth. Because this archetype catalyzes the collective shift. And we don't do it by force. We do it by frequency. We do it by attunement. So my word of caution here for anyone who resonates with this archetype is to not allow the war frequency to destabilize you, but rather let it empower you. And we do this by not resisting it, not going to war with it, not in any way feel, not allow ourselves to believe that we're up against it, but to see it as the fuel that will catapult your trajectory. It will catapult you. It's all for you. It's all for you. So the way that this ties into the previous episodes I've done in this Psychic Liberation series, if you haven't listened to, I highly recommend you go back to like the last four or five episodes. But we really focused in part one on psychic enmeshments itself and how the Lack Matrix programs us through that emotional bandwidth of fear, guilt, and shame. So part two, we're actually diving deeper into why leaving the Matrix is so psychologically charged and how these trauma bonds with the Lack Matrix distort our perception of reality. We get too invested in the storyline and we have to see our people win, and we don't want to see it any other way because how we see it is part of how we survive. So we are diving into that because I think it's important to see how it works to help us unweave our psychic tentacles from it. I want to look at how trauma bonds distort our perception, that just feels so important, but also why truth tellers trigger group defense mechanisms. And this is when we like have the mob mentality and we go after people in that mob mentality, and social media is a clear place that this is happening. And it's honestly, it can be quite scary when we, because especially now, because things, news can travel so fastly, people can send stuff out so quick that may or may not even be true, but that it triggers people to do things they would normally not do because they feel like their freedom or their safety is threatened. So we're going to talk about how psychic sovereignty is rebuilt and why that's important. So this episode here really just sets the groundwork, and I hope that it kind of gives you an idea about if you're feeling uncomfortable by truths that are coming out, or just even in your own being, feeling like you're resisting the truth moving through you, or resisting embodying the truth. Because if you embody the truth, you embody your archetype. And if you embody this archetype in particular, you will inevitably have hate and discomfort and things projected back at you, that if you believe you're not enough, and if you believe everything has to be earned, and if you're rooted in lack, that's going to feel like it's against you. But if you pivot your energy slightly to knowing this is part of your calling, and allow all of that energy that's coming towards you to catapult you, you will expand into your next level of capacity to receive. And then the work, quote unquote work, is holding it. And we learn to hold it through our somatic awareness of our own body and allowing ourselves to have a personal relationship with our body where we understand and respect its creative sovereignty and its creative capacity. I hope this was helpful for you, and I'll see you in the next episode.